When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
To make it more cozy.
It is very cozy
on this side behind the...
Yeah, no, it's great.
I cleaned it up and set up like books and
I'm literally living in squalor.
Oh yeah, me too. My closet, my laundry room is filled with my clothes that I need to wash right now. I have been pulling undies from the wash clothes pile and using it without actually folding stuff for almost 2 weeks now. It's time to wash them again.
Isn't that the worst? Where you're like, how am I out of underwear already?
I know.
I have so much underwear. How did I – do I wear twice a day? What happened?
I know.
And then, like, you're stuck with the underwear that you don't really like. You're like, yeah, I don't want to wear
the ones that are, like, tight or, like, you know, just don't fit you right or uncomfortable. Or
yeah, exactly. You're like, this is going to give me a yeast infection, but I got to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I still haven't unpacked properly from New Orleans.
I didn't realize you were in New Orleans until I checked on you this afternoon. On Instagram, I was like, I have been so out of the loop with you. I haven't kept up with you. I don't know what's happening with you. And so you were like, are you mad at me? And I'm like, I don't know. Should I be? What did you do? I don't know.
That's my go-to. Whenever I
didn't want to say, no, I'm not mad at you. Because you could have done something.
You wanted me to think about it for a little bit. You were like, well, maybe there's a good enough reason to be mad at her.
I mean, I could do with being mad a little bit at somebody.
I like it sometimes, to be honest. I enjoy being a hater from time to time.
Mm-hmm. I tried to be petty yesterday. And then the other person that I was talking to and trying to be petty. Not, I wasn't being petty towards her, but I was being petty about somebody else to her.
Yeah.
And she was like, what's wrong with you? Why are you talking like this? I'm like, but it's funny. Did you know she was 50? Because I am going to be 50. And I thought she was much older than me. Like, what made you think that? And like her face. And she was like, what are you doing? This is not you. And I'm like,
you're like, actually it is.
Actually it is. Why are you upset? I'm not calling you ugly.
You know what's so funny? Like, I don't
know. I want to be petty with somebody. And and they have to be okay with me being petty.
Okay, I have a question to ask you. Mm-hmm. Do you think that I am, like, do you think that I am, that I can be very bitchy?
Yes.
Sure. Of course, yeah, of right? Course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm like a go-getter?
What do you mean go-getter? What's a go-getter?
Like assertive.
Assertive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when we're in New Orleans, I got my palm read and my tarots done. And to be honest, I should have turned on the purchases thing on Venmo and then retracted it because it was such a shitty reading.
Mm-hmm. But this woman – I always wanted to get that done.
Yeah.
I guess this tarot place, this, you know, palm reader on, you know, in our little town all the time. And I'm like, maybe I should walk in there. Well, but then I think that I'm – what if my credit card, you know – what if my identity gets stolen?
And that's how they actually get you in. Because yeah. Then the next
what if
time
I start
like,
getting Scientology, you know, emails after that? I don't know.
Well, one of our listeners and friend of the podcast, and she's like a Watch Book Crappens girl too.
Mm-hmm.
She does tarot readings and it's great. So yeah. I think that I kind of want to.
Let's do it on the pod. Have her on the pod and have her read.
Yeah. Anyway, I would love to have my tarot done properly. But this woman, she did mine. And she told me that I needed to be more assertive and that I needed to, that I could have a little bit more of a backbone and that I should try to be pitchier.
Was this woman's name Danielle?
No. Isn't that crazy? And then the thing is, I was there with four of my other girlfriends who I've known for quite a long time. And one of them said, I was like, this lady's full of shit because that's like the worst reading anybody could ever do of mine. Like, that's something you know about me immediately as soon as you meet me. That I am
those
like,
eyebrows judge you right away.
This face?
Yeah, even with Botox, those eyebrows move up and judge.
Yeah, right away. Like I'm petty and I'm mean and that's like very real about me. Mm-hmm. And my friends, one of my friends
Why do you
like,
think
what?
I'm not doing this podcast anymore?
Yeah.
It got too much for my soft cancer heart, okay? I'm already
Why
hard.
Do you think I'm always worried that people are mad at me? It's because I give them reason to be mad at me. But one of my friends that I was there with said, no, I could totally see that about you. I feel like you could be like, I feel like you're a little too nice. And I was like, I've never heard that in my life. But thank you.
I cannot imagine you being more assertive.
Like, what would
like,
be more
what
assertive?
What would that look like? That would just look like just pure rudeness to your face.
Just like
walking around slinging, you know, insults. It would be like Larry David walking through places.
It
just
would be so mean.
Yeah.
I certainly could not get meaner than I am already. And the thing is, I'm not mean for no reason.
And get into heaven. That's the only thing. Like, you could get meaner, but then you wouldn't get into heaven.
I don't know if that's happening to begin with, but.
But, you know, you could be on the waiting list or something like
I
that.
I could
but,
be. Yeah. I am. You're maybe. We have so much to catch up on
so much.
A whole week of Bravo. I asked you, Arthi, what are you watching? And you said.
Mm-hmm. You tell say? Me what I said. I don't remember what
let
I said.
Let me read the text. Listeners, let me read you the text Arthi said, sent me. Hold on. Where is it? Okay, here we go. What shows have you watched? And you said, VPR, Valley, Potomac, Summer House, and My Life Passing By.
My life has been passing me by. And it's been an adventure and a roller coaster. And I have so many stories that I could go on. I know you want to talk about all the shows, so I won't, but I That's have okay. a lot of personal stories that I
Not
can talk
Not a lot
about.
Happened on Potomac, so certainly
I can
you
tell
could.
You. So my phone has conked out.
Okay.
And it's done it in a very annoying way because it's not that the phone doesn't – it's not that the phone doesn't work. The phone works fine. There's no battery issues, nothing. Screen is fine. I haven't broken anything. But it doesn't connect to my wireless provider.
Oh.
And it's been one of the scariest thing ever because when I'm driving, it just drops and doesn't connect anymore. And I have tried everything. And they said, well, there's nothing wrong other than maybe the antenna inside the phone is a lemon and you have to get it. So they said, do you have warranty? And I said, I should have something. It's only been a couple of years. They said, if you're within the 2 years, you're probably covered. You should go look at your warranty.
Yeah.
I call Square Trade, and of course, I don't know when I bought the phone. I don't have the exact date. So I call them, they find my thing, and they're like, oh, a couple of years ago. And they say, I said, yeah, awesome, because I read the document that came with it, and it said 2 year coverage, and they would replace it completely. I'm like, woohoo, good, awesome. That expired on April 4th, and my phone conked out April 6th.
No.
And I'm like, but I did take it to the T-Mobile store on the 29th just to ask what was going on. And, you know, it didn't fully go out until the 6th, but 29th, I did have an issue and I went to the T-Mobile store. Does that count? Like, no. The claim has to be before the 4th.
Are you? I'm sorry. We're
so it's so unfortunate. I'm like, I was this close. Well, and for my Desi heart, the fact that now I have to shell out money for something that if I had just gone in on April 3rd, I could have gotten for free is so painful.
Well, also, it's not fair because there was a leap year. And so we have an extra day.
There you go. But even then, I should have done it on April 5th. Then I could have claimed that. But April 15th, that's not happening. So that was my first blow, right? I am already upset, mood out, all of that. My phone goes off at the most random places. And then on Wednesday, so it's a whole bunch of lemons thrown at my life right now. I go down all the way down to DC. I'm already late for this meeting that I have to have with this guy who has flown in from Atlanta, and he's at his his corporate headquarters.
Jamal Bryant. Okay, go on.
Jamal Bryant. So I'm driving down in my, what was she driving again? She drove a whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm driving all the way down to DC. I'm fighting traffic. Traffic is horrendous.
You're driving in your own Gucci Mini.
Yes. And I'm driving all the way down. My phone is now
dead
off. It's not connecting. Even if I restart the phone, it connects and then disconnects again. I'm like, I cannot even tell him that I'm running late. I'm stuck in traffic. At one point, it connects and I shoot him a quick note saying, I'm running late. And I'm like, okay, I hope it went through and I hope you got it. I don't know this man's cell phone number. All I have is his email. Mm-hmm. I have his colleague's cell phone number. But that colleague is not here. He is in Chicago.
Okay.
I go all the way down. There's his building and then a parking deck that goes underneath right next to it. And then another building. So the parking deck is sandwiched between these two buildings, right?
Sure.
So I go into the parking deck. I'm already late, 10 or 15 minutes late. I go find a spot to park. I find a spot right next to the elevators. I'm like, okay,
beautiful.
These things are working my way now. Okay, let's go.
Oh, God.
Go in and try to open the door to get to the elevators. Doesn't work. And I'm like, I can't think straight. So I'm like, I don't know how many loops I did to get into the parking deck. And I don't know where I am. I don't want to be walking uphill.
Yeah.
Heaving and hoeing, right? All the way up. And sweaty. I don't want to get sweaty. So I'm like, okay, there's a stairwell next door. I'm like, okay, let me get into the stairwell. I get into the stairwell. It's one of the dingiest, poorly lit, stinky stairwell. It has weird twists and turns. There are many doors. I don't know at every landing. I don't know which door leads to the... I don't know how many floors down I am. I don't know which door leads to the lobby. Finally, I find a door which has a paper stuck to it, says lobby. I was like, okay. Open the door, walk out. The lobby is covered in dust. And it has all of these artistic work for an art studio that's in the building somewhere. And it's like community art and all that.
Yeah.
I'm distracted by this large, huge Easter bunny that somebody has made. And then there's like all kinds of weird, all of those leather shoes made into something, and it's all kind of these artistic things, right? And I am like completely, I don't know what I have walked into. It feels weird. Walk out the front desk, the lobby desk is empty, no one is there. I see the double doors. I walk out through the double doors, get outside the building, and I'm met with a wooden barricade going all around the building. I thought if I could turn to the right and go to the other building, I would walk through, but there's no outlet from there.
No.
I turn around and the doors have locked behind me.
No!
I take out my phone, no signal. By the way, I found out after my panic attack and all of the other reactions I went through, once I was rescued, I found out that I could have dialed 911. That would have worked. Regardless of signal, but I didn't know. But if you guys get stuck, just know that emergency number works. I didn't know. I was too
describing. I'm sweating. There's sweat coming down my back right now.
I walked around the building trying to find an outlet. All the doors are blocked. Everything is saying hard hat, do not enter, high voltage electric, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
It's all being, it's being completely renovated. So why would you let me into your stairwell then? Why didn't you lock that down and tell me
lobby.
That I have to walk
with their paper that said lobby?
Yeah. I am panicking. Then I call the guy that's in Chicago and I was like, I restart my phone like four times, five times. And finally I get like a bar in a corner and I was like, okay, I call the guy in Chicago and he's like, hi, how is your meeting going? I'm like, I'm stuck and I cannot explain to you where I'm stuck because it's too complicated, but I need you to connect me to the guy next door.
Yeah.
He doesn't know his number either. He calls his admin. His admin then three ways, four ways, gets other guy. The admin is home. She's not available. And this guy calls. And he's like, I've never come to the DC office. So I don't know my way around here. I'm like, just walk out of your building and look to the left. And you'll see parking deck. And you just go into the parking deck, ask the guys there at the door to help you get to me and rescue me. The guys at the gate say they won't. They don't know how to get into the building. They're not allowed to get into the building.
Are you kidding me?
And how so then this man, who is actually visiting all the way from Atlanta and has a flight to catch after my meeting, and I'm already late, he's walking around trying to find somebody who would help him. So I had to tell him, walk down two levels. Do you see a G2? Do you see the green door? Do you see, can you open it? He's like, this one doesn't open. He's like, go to the other side. There's one that opens and go up the step. I'm literally directing him because I don't know how I retained all of that information in my brain going up. My brain had figured that out. So I finally, after about 25, 30 minutes, he comes up. I see him. I'm banging on the glass doors. And then he comes and opens the door. And I'm like, do not close the door. Hold the both doors open and I'm going to come through. And then finally I get in. And now we are scared that we are both going to get stuck in the stairwell.
Okay. Honestly, like, I would, by the time that I found myself locked in a building, I would have, that would have been, as the youth say, that would have been my 13th reason. I would have been like, you know what? I think I'm going to die. Let me huff something yummy in this construction zone and just call it a day.
Yeah. I had nothing to eat. I'm hungry because I was going for a lunch meeting.
Forget it.
I don't even have a lozenge. My phone doesn't work. It's running out of charge. I don't have a charger. I'm literally looking at the walls to see if there is an outlet to charge. Then I remember that I don't have my charger with me. And I'm thinking, even if this damn phone dies, I cannot even call 911. And I'm looking through the barricade and I'm watching people walk in the sidewalk and I cannot reach out to them.
This is so scary.
It
sounds like a nightmare. You have compiled all of my worst fears into a nightmare. You know when you have that
tight
nightmare?
Corners, abandonment, everything. Oh,
yeah. Abandonment, lost, late, unprepared. Yeah.
Sweaty.
Can't communicate to people.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to say something, but nobody can hear you. Like this, all of this. Oh my God, I'm so upset. How long did this take?
It took another 20 minutes for us to get out and walk up all of the parking lot to get out. And then he was like, well, we don't have to have the meeting. We can have lunch. I was like, that would be nice. So we went to this fancy desi restaurant that gets all of the, you know, it gets every year. It gets the Zagat Award and it gets Zagat Awards and it gets all of the... you know, always being mentioned as the best Indian restaurant in DC called Rasika. Shitty. Completely shitty. They have butchered the Indian, you know, all of the Indian recipes. They butchered the food. It's bland. And it's really for the DC lobbyists to just sit and pretend they had Indian exotic food.
It was
so salty and horrible. And I was like, it's the cherry on top. That I get to a place that has terrible Indian food.
Again, I commend you for making it out of that because I would have just given up. I would have literally given up on my life. I would be like, that's it. You know what? Yeah. This isn't worth it.
Mm-hmm. I came home and I'm still reliving that and I'm still analyzing it from the from the perspective of I'm going to be 50 soon and I could have died before I turned 50, stuck between a wooden barricade and the glass front doors of an abandoned building.
The image of the people walking past the barricade and you being unable to communicate to them is terrifying.
I would be a homeless, unknown homeless body that is found 6 months from now because it's just too stinky.
This is so sad. And you know, like you have, like, we don't talk about it a lot, but you have quite a miraculous life that I always say it's like such a miraculous life. Like you've been through so much and then to die like that.
I, at one point, as the guy was walking around begging for people to figure out how to get into the building.
Yeah.
I put him on mute and I just laughed and laughed and laughed because when you hit a certain level of panic, yes. I realized that when your adrenaline is just pumping through and you hit a certain level of panic, you either roll up into a ball and just become catatonic or you start laughing. And I laughed my ass off. I was like, of course this happens to me. Of course.
No.
Like, you cannot imagine any, it cannot happen to anybody else, but it will happen to me. I'm like,
you know that clip that I always use of Pedro Pascal laughing and
yeah.
crying?
That's essentially it. I was like, of course. This is how I die.
My God. Well, that was more exciting than literally anything that happened in the three parts of the Real Housewives.
I think this was more exciting than Karen Huger's DUI or any other excitement that has happened.
Honestly. Okay.
But I essentially, while I was going through all of that, you were eating beignets in New Orleans.
Okay,
I'm just saying I wasn't paying attention to your life because my life was very eventful.
I don't know. It feels to me like you're blaming my vacation for why you got stuck.
I'm just saying you live a very, you know, blessed life. It's magical compared to mine.
Cut to a confessional where I'm like, I can't believe Arthi talked about my life that way. I mean, it's not like my fault she got stuck in a lobby somewhere in an abandoned building.
It's your body.
Okay. Did you care about the Potomac finale considering that Robin and NECA and Candace and the entire fucking show is like going away?
Yes and no. The Gordon part of it threw me off a little bit, right? That was not expected. It made me sad, but it made sense.
Yes.
And I was like, okay. And just like that, Mia, you know, secured the – that's why she was on that seat. I was wondering why Mia was on that seat on the right of Andy, but – that's why she's going to he's going to be living right across from her. She's going to have a boyfriend and she's going to have this ex-husband that she takes care of because he has this. And that will make for compelling TV and
reality TV gold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome, Mia. It's a slow burn, but you got there.
You did it.
Marla could have learned some things from you.
Honestly, that's the thing about Mia. Like, she tells a lot of lies
mm-hmm.
because she's so Delulu, mm-hmm. But a lot of the truths and the chaos that she lives in is so compelling that, like, you are like, oh, yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this was more than Giselle has ever done in the entirety of the show.
Entire show. Yeah.
Yeah. More than Robin obviously has done.
Oh, poor Robin. Congratulations to Candace. She is mm-hmm. with child.
Yay. I was so happy to see that.
I was very happy to see that.
Except I think the ultrasound video that she showed, it seemed like that looked like more than a trimester.
It's like, very advanced. No, it's advanced nowadays. It's pretty advanced. You can get some pretty high tech images.
No, the baby looked bigger is what I'm saying. More.
It always looks bigger.
Yeah.
But it's.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, is she doing a Phaedra Parks?
She might be. But I mean, she and here's the thing. It's none of our business. She might. 20 weeks and she hasn't told anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was very happy for her. This is awesome news.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think she should be – I think she should step aside and wait for Bravo to come begging, calling her. That's what she should do.
Exactly.
No, Wendy and Giselle will be forced to talk to each other, which will be weird.
I would be shocked if they keep Wendy on the show.
I think so, too. I'm like, what is so compelling about Wendy that you kept her?
I don't know. But yeah. There's – Wendy could have had an opportunity – to be something else with this. Like, they literally threw her a bone with NECA, yeah. Right? They're yeah. like, "You're, yeah. we gave you a feud.
Yeah. Do and NECA's not it. Coming back, so
yeah.
it's that's just, gone.
It's very, it's slim picks. Yeah. Slim picks over here.
Yeah, I hope they bring, Tiana?
Kiana.
Kiana, yeah.
Yeah, I liked Kiana,
and
too.
I hope they bring her. I think she can be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or did you watch Summer House Martha's Vineyard?
I did. Another pregnancy story that did not get through. I thought she was going to blurt it out at the end, but she didn't. She said, I'm going through a lot of things, but she didn't say what.
She's going to at some point, but there's also beef between Summer and Jordan, which I don't know why a lot of people are mad at each other on this show. But I don't mind watching them because they're so beautiful. And
they are beautiful. Cool. And the way they talk to each other, it's like beating around the bush and using big words. And just it's a convoluted conversation that goes around and round. And you're like, but why are you actually mad?
Here's
what
thing.
Is upsetting you. It's like, oh, this happened and people and my life. And everyone is dropping this random things about their life, and it just comes blurts out, right? Like, Summer just talked about looking for
her dad.
Like, yeah.
Her dad. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And she like, just, so I sometimes think, like, what would happen if reality TV stars got the right therapy and, like, learned yeah. how to speak and, like, learned how to communicate to each other and mm-hmm. not pop off? Like, would that still be good television? And Summer House Martha's Vineyard is a great example of that. That if you are desperate,
I think
enough
they might have tried it with Teresa and then they gave up.
No, but it's so funny because on Summer House Martha's Vineyard, they do this thing where they're like, yeah, I hear you. I see you. I love you. You are valid. You are important. You are loved, but you're wrong. And I find that so entertaining when they're like, when they roundabout say all these things and then end with like, but you're a trifling ass bitch. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay. I love that, you know?
But we never know why though.
We never know why, but honestly, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, so last week there was a feud. We don't know what the feud is about, but this person is mad with this person. There's a whole other feud. We don't know why they're mad, but they're mad with each other. And these are the two people that are going.
Noelle spent an entire episode just sobbing.
Yeah.
She's crying the whole episode.
And they all, it's definitely something to do with some kind of substance because they just go from zero to crying.
I know.
Overnight in
people
2 seconds.
People on the internet say that it might be those ski slopes, which I don't know anything about. So, yeah. You know.
But it's too dramatic and too instantaneous. Like
so
they, some things I feel like that some things that I feel should trigger people don't seem to trigger people. They're just like nodding their heads and standing there. And then there are other things that I'm like, what just happened? Why is she crying? What happened?
Yeah. I'm not sure what's going on there, but apparently Jordan was on Bravo, We're Black, and mm-hmm. she said that a lot of the conversation has been cut off for the show because I think they just go on for very long. Mm-hmm. And so instead, Bravo's just like throwing in the juiciest parts of the conversation, which is them fighting. Mm-hmm. But then we lose it. Then we lose mm-hmm. the connection. So I don't know.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm losing. Sorry. I'm
what happened to you?
Noise, but I am losing power. Hold on.
Oh, God. I got nervous. We got to take care of your devices.
Every device in my house is, it sucks. You think everything sucks.
You think the devices?
I hate everything.
Do you think the devices are out to get you? Did you think about
I
that?
Think so. I think yeah. there's, okay. If I disconnect this and put that on, I might lose the camera.
What are you talking about?
Because the camera on my laptop doesn't work, and I've connected it to a monitor, but then my laptop is running out of charge.
Yes, just plug your battery in your monitor.
It has only one USB-C. Okay. Hey, you can... Oh, no, you can't.
All right, now we're back on.
I think the lunar eclipse messed me up. All of my devices are on the fritz.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the sun flares. Didn't damage Donald Trump's eyes, but my devices are fried.
Hey, let's talk about Vanderpump Rules now.
Yes.
Vanderpump Rules, Lala had a sperm party. Rachel was on, quote, some podcast.
Kennedy. Which podcast was it? Do you know?
It was Bethany's podcast.
Oh.
And the entire episode, the fucking television, the network that Bethany came from is like, I don't know, she was on some podcast. Like, Allie's like, I don't know, she was on some podcast and now it's on TikTok. Like, you know, Allie doesn't care about Bethany anyway, but like, it cracked me up that like, Bethany DeFrankel, Miss Bravo herself,
Is no longer.
Yeah, she's some podcast.
She has become the Voldemort. You don't even mention her name.
We don't even say her name.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. DJ James Kennedy lays into Sandoval while walking his golden doodle.
I loved it. I love that. Everything I have, I don't know what's happening to me. I am getting softer in my old age because DJ James Kennedy, I mean, did this man actually have some growth?
It's hard to tell if it's growth or if he is aware of the fact that, like, Tom Sandoval is a worse person than him. Like,
or it may be growth where he understands how to work this system. And if so, that's growth too. I mean, if you learn how to work the social media and work this system that is Bravo, then you are already miles ahead of your other castmate.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, for Sandoval to be like, I just want people to get over it, whatever, but he's wearing a fucking dipped out shirt
singing, I know,
dumb fucking song.
That was the other thing, that he's wearing that t-shirt in your face knowing he's going to be on camera, and then he gets torn to shreds by James Kennedy. I mean, that was beauty in that scene.
It was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I loved it so much. Because, like, I've mentioned this before, DJ James Kennedy, especially now that Candace is no longer part of Bravo, mm-hmm. is currently my problematic favorite because he is so – he's such a fucked up person. Like, mm-hmm. he has a lot of issues.
I blame his mother, but okay.
Yeah, he's got rage issues, mm-hmm. and allegedly that he tends to get verbally abusive.
His father is a mess too. Yeah,
parents, yeah, they're both. Absolute shit parents, right?
Yeah.
Best thing that ever happened to this kid's life is that he became friends with Max Todd. Like, he – and I think that Allie is making things better because I feel like when he wants to go off the rails, Allie's like, listen, your seventh moon is in the 10th house. Yeah,
your chakras aren't aligned.
Your chakras aren't aligned, James, and I really need you to relax.
She does, like, it all from her little iPhone.
Right?
She has the software downloaded. She immediately looks it up. She's like, Lala's sperm donors didn't have their.
Oh my God. We talked about reading like palms and tarots, and like, we didn't even mention Allie.
Yeah.
She's an astrologer. There's a science behind that.
Mm-hmm. We should have her on and make her a reader.
I want her to come on and I want to ask
She'll
her.
She'll be the first Bravo Liberty TV.
Yeah,
every interview.
I want her to come on, and I want to ask her if she knows what a Janam Kundli is. And then if she says she doesn't know what a Janam Kundli is, I'm going to be like, "All right, bye."
A lot of learning to do.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
Tom Sandoval figures out that he actually can't keep the house because he's a fucking idiot. Like, everybody's like, "Why isn't Ariana leaving? Why isn't she's making money? Why isn't she leaving?" And then she's like, because I own this house, and if I have to sell this house to him, he is going to have to refinance the house, and he's going to have to get a 10% interest rate.
Yeah.
And we need to figure that out.
Yeah.
Like, She's smart.
Using professionals to figure this out. Yes, and correct. She's taking her time, which is the right thing, right way to go.
Correct.
He is using his buddy lawyer that does, you know, Jax's buddy lawyer who does whatever, entertainment law or whatever.
I think he's using Kyle Chan for everything. I think that's why Kyle Chan shows up to things. Kyle Chan's yeah, I've done a couple of business.
I love that Kyle Chan is like being like Karen Huger and sitting on the fence, being the fence, because he's like showing up to support Sandoval, but he is also helping Sheena do her video. So he's like, he's collecting from both ends of this, using both fists to collect points.
He's like, give me. I got this.
Gold foil coins. But
yeah, they're basically chocolate coins that you get in Hanukkah. That's all they are.
Yeah, I think those are the cardboard coins they use in Traitor.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. That's what that's what
And Sheena should be trying to get on Traitors and not on Dancing with the Stars. I think she would be amazing.
She would be so good because everybody would like she would immediately tell you if she was a traitor. She would be like, "Listen, I don't want to tell anybody, but you're my best friend, so I have to tell you." What did you think about Lala, who's been, you know, walking this earth, doing her best Bethany Frankel? Talking cash money shit about Ariana and how she needs to leave the house. But she says, hey, can I have a party at your house for my sperm collection?
I was impressed that she was able to get Lisa Vanderpump to accept it with a day's notice. And I was like, this is some bullshit. Lisa knew. She's already had her, you know, her assistants cleaning and putting pink rose flowers all over the place.
Yeah.
And putting all that together. I was like, yeah. This is such a ridiculous thing. But here's the two sides of Lala, right? Where she's talking shit about everybody. I think it's her insecurities coming through. And she's like, I'm going to have another baby. I need to have money coming through. I will say and do whatever right now because I need this money. So this is her version of hustling.
Sure.
So she's doing that. On the flip side, she's going about having a baby and doing it the way she wants to do it and not being, you know, being shamed for it or anything. And that's more power to her. At the same time that she is doing some saying things about Ariana, she's also experiencing a lot of negativity about the baby shower, picking the semen. And, she thinks that she's the first person to have this IVF baby. She's the first person to do a baby this way. She's the first person to, you know, she's making it such a big deal, like we don't understand. It was like, okay, this is her experience. This is her storyline. She wanted to do it. She thought there would be a lot more. She thought she would come on to, you know, VPR and be the person, you know, be the producer role for all of the tension that is happening. But Sheena has not given her room and Katie hasn't given her an inch to produce anything. So she now has to rely on her storyline, and her storyline happens to be that she wants to have another baby. So she's focused on that. I think there's more, and again, like all of the other fights, I think there's more to this than what's being played out, and it's not so much about just what we are seeing about Lala and Ariana on the screen. I think there's more to it. And
yeah, we got to figure out what it was. Like, I got to figure out what it was that made her snap.
Because even in this scene, Ariana is like so supportive, and
she's making so much noise. She's so excited for her. Like, she loves that, you know, that Lala is like doing her own thing. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point she heard from somebody that probably Sheena. You know, Ariana was like, nah, I don't really love the fact that Lala is hanging out with Tom Sandoval. I don't really love the fact that she keeps defending Tom Sandoval. And Lala was like, oh, yeah, you said that about me. Watch. And then she like, you know, lost it. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was something as simple as that, because Lala's and then she's going to be like, I just was going through a lot, and you guys don't understand what it's like having a baby by yourself. And like, she's going to use it as some, you know, she'll find a reason to excuse her bullshit behavior. But
right. And I was kind of impressed that Ali Bally stirred the pot a little bit there.
I appreciate Ali Bally. I do.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. She does it in a very quiet and sweet way. And Lala was like, did you say that I said this verbatim? She was like, I was searching for the words. I was like, no, you actually said that this is what she said.
I love Ali Bally and James. Mm-hmm. I do. They're my favorite. I like favorite
the Ali Bally. He doesn't have a single strand of hair that's misplaced. She's ever. Just so put together. She's so perfect.
She apparently released her new single called
Girl. I saw that come through. Yeah.
I didn't listen
but
to
I
it.
But I didn't see you go to New Orleans, but I did see that part.
Well, she's got a little bit more publicity than me. So I understand. The Valley. We watched
what a dumpster fire.
We got to watch two dumpster fires.
Right.
Actually three.
Yeah.
Because they threw in like a little Kristen montage. I feel like every episode of The Valley is going to give us some black and white footage of Kristen acting crazy. Yeah.
I was worried that The Valley was going to be a lot of Jax and Brittany, but it's actually a love story from the Bravo producers to Kristen. That's all.
It honestly is. It's a love letter.
Yeah.
It is, because it's like, yeah, Kristen Doty's a crazy batshit crazy person, and she still does weird stuff. But look at the other crazies around her, and they're like married and have real jobs, and like somebody gave them a mortgage and let them have babies. Mm-hmm. So like let Kristen have a baby with this 32-year-old Vincent Van Gogh looking ass motherfucker and like we'll be fine. She'll be okay.
Yeah.
That
guy has major anger issues.
Oh, terrifying. And with
Kristen there, it's just going to blow up one day. There's going to be – I'm actually scared that – I don't know which one is going to get murdered, but there might be a murder.
No.
Because Kristen has equally batshit, energy. But I just feel that this is not healthy. There's some energy about him that is super scary. It's like – I look at his eyes and the way he talks and all of that. I'm thinking, like, are you a serial killer?
What's going on? That's a scary white man. Yeah. Like, that's a scary white man.
Squawny. Yeah. And probably has been picked on himself.
Knows how to live in the woods. Like, right. There's something about that terrifies me.
It's like, do you have bodies buried down there? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if that man's had a single ounce of sunscreen or moisturizer ever applied to his face. Because I could not believe that he's 32 years old.
Right?
32? He was born in the 90s?
Yeah.
That is insane. Yeah. That is insane information. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Luke is also an empath? Like Kristen said
he could be an incel, but I don't know if he's an empath. And Kristen, oh my God, that was so funny. And the fact that everybody around her was snickering and laughing, and then she went on and she didn't even notice them doing that.
No.
An empath who didn't notice emotions around the table. It was so hilarious.
Chef's kiss. Like, you could not make a better sequence of events.
Right.
Yeah, Jax and Brittany are apparently not having sex. Man, people have been showing like clips and posting pictures of Brittany back when she first came on Vanderpump Rules. And like Jax Taylor sucks for so many reasons, and Brittany also sucks, by the way. But like the way that this man has like destroyed her body, she was this beautiful girl. He got her these like a 3-year-old baby, 3-year-old child sized titties. Like,
yeah, each one. Yeah.
Each one. Yeah.
He got her. She must have so much back problems. I don't even understand. She can barely walk and sit. And I'm like, you need to get a breast reduction, girl.
Absolutely. And then she keeps getting plastic surgery that makes her face look like she's in a permanent frown. He's raised those eyebrows up to the moon.
Yeah.
Like, it's. And then after all that, this man is like, I don't really feel like having sex with you.
Which is like for Jax Taylor. Like, I don't what believe is he? That. He's not on, he doesn't have low T. That man is having sex somewhere else.
He is getting his dick sucked somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think Brittany kind of suspects and knows, and she's just turning a blind eye to it because she wants to focus on her son, and she's afraid of, she knows that Jax is not going to pay any child support.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know if I can handle this by myself. So she's just in a limbo with him. But
Yeah.
And the child has now some, you know, regression issues. And she, like, Jax is online doing his anti-vax tirade. And I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah. I'm like, bravo. Like, you actually could have made the valley without Kristen and Jax. And I hope that you can eventually phase them out.
Yeah.
Because there's enough content here without.
Oh my God. Jesse is a madman. His wife is a mad woman because she's like, Kristen, we don't want you to procreate. I'm like,
which is like a crazy statement. Like, you guys are all terrible, terrible monsters.
Right.
Now, do you think that Michelle is cheating on Jesse? Because
with Quentin Tarantino, apparently.
No, not with Quentin Tarantino. Apparently, it was Michael Bay.
What?
Yeah.
In one of the Reddit threads was Quentin Tarantino.
All right. Well, if it's Quentin Tarantino,
that's that. Yeah. Michael Bay. Okay, fine. Okay,
fine. Yeah. Ew.
Ew.
Quentin Tarantino?
No, the fact that you. I'm just thinking about this, right? That your husband goes to Chateau Marmont all the time to get drunk.
Yeah.
So you start going, walking down. So literally you walk down the busy highway and go to Chateau Marmont. And then to what? To flirt with these guys? And then what do? You're like, okay, end of the day. I don't have to drive. I can walk back home.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, I know people who do that where they will like go to public places with their partners and flirt with somebody else. And they like kind of get off on it. And then they come home and they have sex. But these two are like not even doing that. No, I'm so
they are getting off and having sex, not just not with each other.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I have a feeling that Jesse is not having sex with somebody else because he seems like the kind of person who would really love to have the high road.
Yeah.
Like he wants to be able to say that he was.
I think he's so obnoxious in this post Me Too world that when he opens his mouth, girls are like, okay, I'm not sleeping with you. Why would I? You're not famous. You're not anything. He might get some after this show, but it's and the way that he says, I'm going to tell my daughter for 40 years that her
mom fucked up.
Yeah. I was like, ew.
Ew.
And Michelle, the way they talk to each other and Michelle has this, I mean, man, her face is Botoxed up. There's no emotions on her face. I cannot tell if she's hiding emotions or it's just like wrote because when she was mad at Kristen, she was a whole other person.
She was. I just think that she hates this man. I have a feeling that they both were ready to call it quits a while ago. And Jax and Brittany were like, stay on for the show. And like convinced them to stay on because it would be like good, juicy television. Because Jax and Brittany have known that Jesse and Michelle have had problems for a long time.
Right. And Jax is the one who always prompts the questions that will lead to those discussions.
A producer's
always.
Dream.
He's like floating around like a damn hippo in his pool with his nostrils out. And he's just like, what? What's going on with your therapy?
Yeah, like, I know.
Go back into the water, you silly.
You silly. Get back in the water.
Silly hippo. Yeah. He literally reminded me of hippo. You know how his nostril flares.
He was
like
looming because I think he thought he was being a shark. But he was
a hippo.
He is
big and bulky and his nostrils do flare. So he's there. No, he was floating in there with just his face, half his face up over the water. And I was like, you look like a hippo.
I was just thinking like, what if? You know how, like, you go to Animal Kingdom in Disney and they have a safari?
Mm-hmm.
What if you went to, like, a place where you ride
a Bravo Kingdom and you, like, what would they do?
Yeah, you go through a Bravo Kingdom except you sit in a safari and then the safari takes you to, like, various poolside viewings of, like, people from these shows being at pools.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have, like, you see, like, there's Jax Taylor in his natural habitat, like, looking at somebody else's wife's
boobs. You can come rescue me now. In a 3-foot pool.
Oh, God. Yeah. Bravo, you better not take that idea. They're like, that's why we need to pause BravoCon until 2025. We got to come up with a safari.
I think they had to pause because they have a PR problem with Andy.
Yes. Cohen,
right?
Yeah.
And they need to, for they are spending a lot of money on lawyers for him. So yeah. they need to figure that out if Andy is a liability for them, right?
Yeah.
But if he's not the liability, they have to revamp all of the shows. I have a feeling almost all of the shows except New York is going to get revamped a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be pause, figure out, run the new shows, gain a new set of audiences and fans for a new set of characters, and then have the Bravo. Yeah. I think it's a smart idea.
Yeah.
Also, they don't have the money.
Right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's like all these rumors that Andy is apparently getting prepared to get an exit package that NBCU and Bravo want to like not deal with the PR issue of him.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. They got all this cocaine. It's not just going to blow itself.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So yeah. Anyway, Summer House.
Yeah.
More relationships falling apart. Although this episode, everybody was getting along. Not the entire cast was there. This week, Jesse was missing. But they had this alien party and they all went out the night before and it seemed like everybody was getting along and all this stuff.
Essentially, the women stopped complaining about the men and everything seemed to fall okay because they compromised.
Yes. But let's talk about that for a second, because I've always said that Kyle and Lindsay are the exact same person.
Right.
And a really important thing that happened this episode is that Kyle and Amanda had a good time because Amanda did what Kyle likes to do.
Right.
And Lindsay and Carl had a good time because Carl did what Lindsay likes to do.
Yeah.
And so they all went out and they all got drunk together, except for, you know, the people who didn't drink. But they allowed their Kyle and their Lindsay to be who they wanted to be.
Yeah.
And Kyle is like, I know Amanda's going out for me because she cares about me. And like, she's only doing this to make me happy. And now everything is good again.
Yeah, but I think Kyle knows that in the back of his head that now that Amanda has done this one night, he needs to behave for the next few nights.
Yeah,
he needs to behave for the next few weeks because otherwise he's dead. It's that kind of codependency and that adjustment that you do at a certain point in your marriage that can lead to resentment down the road. And I can see it happening with them. And they're like, they just don't want to quit when things are not going well. They're going to have their babies. They're going to adjust some more. And at some point, it's going to be really, really hard.
I agree. Carl and Lindsay are still pretending like everything is fine. And Lindsay tells Carl, and also we find out that Carl's basically been unemployed for the last year.
Yeah, and on top of it, Lindsay had to shell out $20,000 for. She keeps saying that
because for a life coach
over and over again. She says that over and over again in the after show. So this is something that has bothered Lindsay to the point where she's like, "I'm going to sue him for $20,000." That's what at some point she might say. No, she hasn't done it, but that's how it feels. Yeah, like she keeps bringing up the money, but so she is right. Like you went to a career coach. And what you got out of it is that you should be a career coach?
So I have a feeling, here's my theory. Last summer when Lindsay and Carl were like, you know, we came into the show and Carl was leaving Loverboy. I wouldn't be surprised if prior to that, Lindsay and Carl already started having issues in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And Carl was like, it's because of Loverboy. Loverboy's really stressing me out. Working for Loverboy is stressing me out. So Lindsay's like, okay, cool. Let's work on getting you to quit Loverboy and find something else. Yeah. So she helps him put together this big slide and PowerPoint and all these bullets and this plan that he's going to eventually send to Kyle, which is where we picked up with them last summer.
Right.
So Carl does this thing, I think. I think Carl's the kind of person that doesn't admit to what the actual problem is. Like, he doesn't actually talk about the truth. He finds a scapegoat. And then he's like, yeah, I'm sad because of this other reason. And then Lindsay's the kind of partner that's like, okay, so that's the reason. Let's work on eliminating it. Like, she's the kind of person who's going to come up with a plan for you. And he's like, oh, no. Like, she did the thing that I needed her to do. Mm-hmm. And now I have to still be with this woman because she's doing the thing that she's putting
me first. So Lindsay the difference between the two of them is that Lindsay is a super smart person. It's really yes. comes down to intelligence.
Yes.
She's super smart. She would have been great as a wife to a hedge fund guy with the money. And all she wanted from Carl, really, she settled with Carl because she wanted to have a baby and she didn't want to do it out of wedlock.
Yep, exactly.
And she said, at least he's good looking and, you know, his family is good and I can make it work and I can have my baby.
Yep.
But it's not happening because there was no way Carl was going to have a baby with her. He just doesn't like her and he thinks she's bossy and she puts him down, which she does because yes. he is being an idiot. He is not on the same intellectual wavelength as her. He's not working. He's not looking for a job. He goes to a job, to a career coach, and the career coach tells him that he should look at what his passions are and work from there. He doesn't even know he has a passion for it until the career coach tells him, you are sober. You could do that. And look what I did. I got sober and I did this now and I'm making yep. And Carl comes out of it thinking, oh, I could do his job.
Yes. That's not what he does now, by the way. Yeah. That's his career, is what yeah. he has decided is that he's going to be a life coach.
You have to overcome your issues in life to become a life coach. You don't overcome them by becoming a life coach.
Exactly.
It's so stupid.
Carl is like, first of all, I just want to say, I think that it's fantastic that Carl is sober. Getting sober is not a small thing. I understand. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to downplay that. But Carl is 100%. The type of person that I just said an extremely like presumptuous thing. I'm like, Carl is 100%. Carl is to me mm-hmm. the kind of person that, like, you know when you're younger,
you have to be more assertive. No, you can say that.
No, you know when you're younger and you go through like a new phase, like, you know, the first year of school, the next mm-hmm. year, your school year, or you're getting a new job or you're getting married. And every time you hit a milestone in your life, you think, this is the thing that's going to make my life good. Mm-hmm. This is the thing that's going to get my shit together. Mm-hmm. And then you eventually have to realize, no, I don't think that I am the person that those goals require me to be. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, right? Carl, I believe, is the kind of person that believes that, like, because he got sober, his mm-hmm. issues with relationships, his issues with his job, all these things will get resolved because the reason why he couldn't get his career or mm-hmm. his ambitions or his relationships together is because he was abusing alcohol or and substances.
You're right.
But the thing is, Carl, bless you for becoming sober, but being sober doesn't always resolve the fact that you don't have a clear idea of who you want to be.
Yeah.
You decided to get into a serious relationship within the first year of sobriety, which everybody says not to do, mm-hmm. with the person who is closest to you, mm-hmm. your best friend, Lindsay. And you did that because that was the easiest option available.
Right.
It required the least amount of work. It felt like a good idea because Lindsay is ambitious, so you thought it was going to rub off on you. And it didn't work because it's like you didn't actually put any of these – your thoughts into any of these decisions. Mm-hmm. Like it's – Carl is such a – he's like a child. Like he wants to still do the easiest thing that's available. And I'm not saying that like being sober is easy. But I think like he did this really difficult thing of becoming sober. But mm-hmm. he's not putting that same effort into like having a career or having a relationship. He's still doing the easiest thing available. Even now he's like, oh, I guess I could go back to Loverboy because somebody else already did the work for me.
Yeah. So he has figured out that sales is probably the easiest thing for him because all he has to do is take someone else's work and sell it.
Yes.
So that's probably what is helping him with that. But I have seen many, 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 many Carls in my career. And yes. they peaked at high school and then they peaked because they were in a structured setting and the structure helped them, but without structure they don't quite know what to do.
Yeah.
So they are basically, you know, once that structure goes away and they have to figure things out for themselves, they struggle and struggle and struggle. And what they don't understand is you cannot get structure by artificially leaning on somebody else. that have their own life to deal with. She doesn't have time. She has her own career. She has her own goals. You are going to suck up all of that time for you to figure this out. And that's not okay. That's not, you know, you cannot blame her for that. So it's just sad. And I feel that Lindsay settled for him, and that's, you know, she's still upset. She won't admit that that's what she did.
Yeah.
She thinks that there was real love and all of that. No, Lindsay, he served the purpose at that time. That's it.
I think that all those things can be true, though. Like, I think that she did love him and he did love her. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's like, this is going to sound so fucked up. What is love if you don't
know? If I figure out that it's really bad, I'll tell you.
Okay. What is love with another person if you don't, number one, love yourself, and number two, know who you are? Like, if you yourself don't know who you are, and then you get into a relationship with somebody who also doesn't know who they are, but you tell each other, like, I've known you for so long, I know you so well, let's be together, you're my best friend.
Well, I don't think you can know yourself at the age when people usually typically get married.
Yes, certainly.
Right?
I agree.
But, no, but in this situation, if you can admit to yourself that you don't know yourself, and that, but you know some basic tenets about your principles in life.
Yes.
That is something that I always say, like, when you are in college, you need to write down, what do I truly believe in? Who am I?
Sure.
What are my principles? And if you have done that part, then you can stick to it, and then you can work your way into it.
In this situation with Carl and Lindsay, they are two people with like a lot of trauma and a lot of issues that I think still don't quite admit to themselves who they really are. And so it's like, you've been presenting yourself a certain way. They've been presenting themselves a certain way. You both say that you love each other based on whatever is being presented. But that's not actually who you are. Like, Carl, you are not actually this person that should be with somebody like Lindsay. And Lindsay, you are not the person that should be with somebody like Carl. Because that's whatever you think he is, he's not that. And like, I have to say, some of Carl's like rage, I feel like it's going to start to show up soon.
Yeah.
Like there is something like itching under him, I feel, that's a little angry. And I'm not saying that Lindsay's not an asshole, but I would not be surprised if it shows up later on as we get closer to, you know, D-Day with these guys.
Yeah, it's scary and sad.
Yeah.
I think Lindsay should do what Lala is doing, and she would be actually better off that way. Because I don't see Lindsay being quite happy with whoever, because to make her happy is going to be a hard task, because she has so much baggage that she has to deal with.
Yes, absolutely.
And different people will trigger her for different reasons. So I think she's going to, she would be an amazing mom.
Yes.
And I think she's itching to be one. So I think that she should do what Lala did and just go at it by herself. And she's going to be so much happier.
Exactly.
And she's going to be a better mom that way too.
Yeah, I think so. What did you think about Danielle asserting herself over Paige and telling Paige that she's giving Craig nothing? I was like, you're telling Paige DeSorbo that she's giving Craig fucking Conover nothing? He's getting Paige. Are you kidding
me? Yeah. It's like Craig is getting a legitimacy and a following only because he's with Paige. Yes. Because we had all written him off.
Exactly. He had was his, like, his...
Towards the end, when he was launching the pillow, something happened, right? It was all the Austin stuff. And we had kind of... No, it was Catherine stuff.
Well, I think the reason why we had all sort of, like... Yeah, we got... I stopped watching Southern Charm because I was like, I'm not watching it after 2020. Like, you guys platformed T-Rab, like, all that stuff. I was over it. But...
Yeah.
Even then, like, I feel like Craig maybe had a girlfriend for a little while. Like, Craig, for the most part, is a serial monogamist.
Yeah.
He did.
Naomi.
He loves Naomi. Yeah. What are you eating there? Werther's?
No. Can you hear that? Oh my God.
Yeah, I heard the crinkling. I was like, what are we having? A little wrap
further.
A loss.
I'm not yet 50.
It fully sounded like the crackling.
It's dried mango.
Oh, yummy. Is that from Trader Joe's?
No, Indian Desi.
Oh, so sorry. Anyway, what did you think about Danielle this entire episode? She's really just taken so many L's. What a weirdo.
She is. She's something. I think now everybody's just letting Danielle be crazy Danielle. Paige turned on her like in one instant. Like 1 second. After all the stuff that she was supporting Danielle and against Lindsay, she's like, this year I kind of understand why Lindsay is doing this. I kind of understand why she went after Danielle. With just one drunk comment from Danielle, and Paige was like, Lindsay is right.
Yeah, I loved it. Like, I think the other thing is that Lindsay, like, Paige and Lindsay are also very similar. So I feel like that's the other thing. Like, Lindsay, Paige only tolerated Danielle before because it pissed Lindsay off that Paige and Danielle were friends. But now that Paige isn't really mad at Lindsay anymore, number one, she doesn't really have any use for Danielle. But back then, she used to tolerate Danielle's, like, weirdness. Mm-hmm. Now that she doesn't have use for Danielle, she's like, by the way, Danielle is nutty.
Yeah. Gabby doesn't even want to touch Danielle with the 7-foot little. She's like, yeah, let her do whatever she does. I don't care. Danielle is on an island by herself. Nobody cares. She just comes. She talks about dicks. She talks about having a lot of sex. And she says, Liam, she sends it a lot in her alien hat. And then she goes home. And she thinks she has done a great job, but she's not.
I feel bad for Danielle because
I don't think she'll come back next year. I don't see her coming back next year.
I feel bad for Danielle because this is like not her first season where she's embarrassing herself. Yeah. She embarrassed herself not just multiple seasons.
Remember when she first came on and I was in love with her?
And also on Winterhouse, she has embarrassed herself.
Yeah.
She just got cheated on by Joe Bradley with Luann.
She has a lot of interesting stories when she's going to be old and talking to people with a cup of tea in her hand. She's going to be like, you know who I got cheated on
for? The Countess.
Joe Bradley cheated on me with Luann. Countess Luann. And she's going to be happy about it. It's like she needs therapy. I'm glad she said she's seeing a therapist.
I know.
But she needs to be off this show, man.
Yeah. I think I like her on the show just for how the secondhand
for the chaos.
Yeah, the secondhand embarrassment.
It's cringe after cringe after cringe.
Well, speaking of cringe, West is kind of demanding that he and Sierra, not demanding, but he is very much a regular, typical guy. And it's like, maybe worry less about whether or not Sierra is going to have sex with you and more about whether or not you're going to get a paycheck.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's the not having a job has hit his self esteem, and he thinks that if she's not sleeping with him because he doesn't have a job, and he's feeling sad about it, and he's like, "Would you guys? Is that the reason?" And he brings it up a couple of times about not having a job and how it has hit his self esteem.
Oh,
and so the fact is that there's a good looking girl, and she's stringing him along, and she's not sleeping with him, and it must be because he has no self. She sees no worth in him because he doesn't have a job.
Men.
Yeah.
It's not even about you.
And he's asking, the way he's saying it too is like, he's worried that since they're just doing being friendly, he will eventually they'll settle into this friend zone. And then, it would be too awkward if he brings that up. So he's like, can you girls bring it up instead of me?
Yeah.
But I think he's young and he's inexperienced and he's going through shit. So I don't think he's doing it in as much of a gross way as the other guys have done in the past. So I'm giving him a pass for now.
Yeah, we'll allow it. We'll allow it.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts about any of these terrible relationships?
I'm loving Summer House this year. Valley is cringe, but it's like a correct that I cannot look away from. Vanderpump Rules, again, I don't know where that is going either. It had a little bit of promise earlier in the season. Now it feels like too contrived.
I just wish that people would be honest and be like, you know, if Bravo, if these kids have to film with Tom Sandoval, right? I think the thing is that Vanderpump Rules is a show that wants to make us believe that this is reality, that this is the reality that they are living in, but also wants to very much control the reality that they show, right? Like, so you want you should be viewing this as that you guys are coworkers, because if you were tied to the restaurant, if your job was the restaurant, being waiters and waitresses at Sir, you would see Tom Sandoval every day, and then you would have to figure out a way to film to be there with him, right? So let's treat the television show like this is your office place, and you have to go to meetings with this person, and you have to show up at events with this person. But what the people on Vanderpump Rules are doing is that they're like thinking that this is a show that they need to produce. And it's just not quite hitting the way I feel like it could.
Right, right. It's missing now. Yeah. It's missing me now. So I'm getting a little tired. I almost forgot to watch it this week. And that's the first, you know, instance when I'm like, okay, if I forgot to watch it, then I wasn't interested. Yeah. But here's my other conspiracy theory that I've been waiting to tell you about Summer House. You remember when Kyle and Amanda were looking at the Hamptons house and pretending it was in Jersey? And Kyle kept saying, the burbs, the burbs, the suburbs, the burbs. I have a feeling that just like Vanderpump spun out Valley, the Summer House is going to spin out a show called The Burbs.
Oh.
And it's going to be Kyle and Amanda centric burbs.
Interesting. What if they do it in West Orange?
What if they recruit you?
No, I would show up like Danielle.
You're younger than Kyle, right?
I am younger than Kyle, but I am older than Amanda.
Yeah, you could come in as the sensible one,
as an older mother type,
the more assertive,
a wise old lady type.
Yeah,
a mother hen.
You could be the one that she lies on beds with.
Okay.
And talks about
the
husband.
I know that they suck for the bed, laying around in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me. Like that whole thing of like, let's just go lay down.
Yeah.
I love it. I saw a clip of Katie Maloney and Dana. They have a podcast called Disrespectfully. And Katie was saying, you know what I hate? When people ask me what I do for fun. She's like, fuck off. Like, What do you do for fun? What's fun? Like, and then she was like, I don't know. Sometimes fun is laying around in my bed and scrolling through my phone. Sometimes fun is going out with my friends to a dinner. Sometimes fun is just rotting in bed. Like, I was like, Katie, like nobody could ever make me hate you.
Yeah.
I do love Katie. I love Katie.
I think she's, I think the older Katie gets, the less of a fit she's on this show. I think she can be a friend off to Ariana and just come in and just, you know, roll her eyes at all of these guys and walk out, and she'll be just perfect.
My edible has just entered the chat.
Oh, shoot.
I can't feel my tongue.
Oh, yeah. I thought it had already kicked in.
No, it literally just kicked in like 5 minutes ago. Like my fingers feel great.
Oh, that's awesome. You can go rot in your bed now.
Oh, I can't wait. I still have to do my skincare, but as soon as I do my skincare, I'm taking my Nutrafol and my Prozac and going to bed.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna.
But yeah. So that's it's I think there's going to be a show called The Burbs, and I think Kyle is trying to push for one so he can go out for because he's getting old and he's getting to a point where he cannot be doing the Summer House, getting naked, walking around, peeing on the thing, right? I think he's getting to a point where he sees and the end coming at him, but he wants to keep the revenue coming through.
Totally.
So he needs to do something along those lines. So it's going to be Burbs. It's going to be behind Teresa's house. And it's going to be like he's going to have these crazy parties only in the summer. And that's what it's going
to
be.
It will crack me up, like the fact that Amanda's like, we had to move to – I like that Kyle says we got to move to the burbs. And Amanda specifically says, no, we're moving to Jersey. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference. Like if she says burbs and it's like Westchester, I think he'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Or if she said burbs and was like, definitely not Long Island. But like, even if it was Long Island, because they live
in Hampton. They are trying to do a show, Jersey would be better.
No, of course. But I think that when he says, when he hears leaving New York and going to New Jersey, I think he's being a hater, which I understand. Please, hate on New Jersey. Don't come.
Would you allow Amanda to join Real Housewives of New Jersey?
She would. I don't know what she would do there, but I have a feeling that
it would be weird.
No, but listen, Amanda Batula, I believe, is an Italian girl. So I would love to see Amanda thriving in her full Jersey Italianness, because she would get in with the, like, all her accent would change. I know, because that's what I turn into when I'm around my New Jersey friends. And so, like, I, you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing it. I wouldn't mind it. I just want to see what would happen, because she's older than Rachel Fuda.
That's true.
So I feel like we have a, we might have something on our hands.
And, you know, they could get rid of Melissa and Joe. And, you know, Kyle could slip into the Joe's position of just being.
I would never want to see Joe and Kyle together. That's not something I care about.
That would be too much of ass.
Too much.
Too much naked ass walking around. Yeah. But one of them would be fine.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have to end this episode now because I don't think that I can keep my eyes open.
You're seeing colors. Okay.